American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting from the internet for Monday, June 29th, 2008. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel, a WOG Global sit-rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are doing that too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get there by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Red Mercury, SRN1, that's Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio. We're occasionally on iTunes. We've had some little bit of problems getting some stuff up there from time to time, but that should pass. Podcast.com. We're also on Podcast Alley. And of course, every Thursday night at about 7 o'clock, if I can arrange it, we're down here in Second Life Node Archers, grid 15574666. So, very, very pleased to be here this week. We're not going to be here next week because we're distributing all over the planet to just, you know, to take over. It's part of our evil master plan to, you know, set up bases and stuff. We're also simulcast, let's not forget, on Radio 99, transmitting on a frequency of 6673.3 kilohertz. And now, back from the dead, is my beautiful and talented co-host, Samarian.
I've risen 3 days later.
3 days later,
with you.
Zombie vegan Jesus. Hey, zombie Jesus, it's the way to go. So always good. How was your excused visit? Exit from the show. What did you do? What was your important reason?
So important. It was the wife's birthday.
Oh well, that's yeah. Well. You know,
that's pretty important.
Well, not a lot. Not everyone has wives. I would wager that a lot of people having this show probably doesn't have a wife. There's a large percentage of, I'd say, like maybe 10% of the people listening to this show have wives. So, you should learn from Sim's outstanding example. If you expect to ever keep a wife for any length of time, and, without, the use of heavy industrial restraints, you should probably, remember things like birthdays and take them out and stuff. And
it's important.
I've met Sim's wife. She's fantastic. So if Sim wasn't here last week, I would have totally kicked his ass off the air. What did you do for the birthday?
Well, we saw a 400-year-old play.
Oh,
so that was pretty good.
Well, nothing new there. It's the rerun generation. They can't.
It is.
They just keep rehashing that shit. It's just it's there.
A Shakespearean play, a comedy of errors. It was quite good.
Yeah, really. From you, because you're not a big live theater guy, really.
Well, not yet. I haven't seen enough to really form an opinion yet. I've seen about four plays.
That's fair. Yeah. You stay open to it, though. But, that's intelligent to sit there and say, you know what? I don't really know what I'm talking about regarding that, so I'm going to reserve judgment. No, hey, how many people
that's
don't
true,
do that?
It'd
be like, Sean, how do you feel about, fly fishing, And I'd be like, I don't really know a shitload about fly fishing. It doesn't interest me that much, but I wouldn't pass judgment. Because I get that. Occasionally I'll get people asking me questions about shit I know nothing about. Be like, hey,
yeah,
Sean.
It's hard to comment on that. Right?
I have to buy a climbing harness. What climbing harness do you think I should buy? And invariably I say an expensive one. Hanging by a thread, want to make sure that it wasn't made by the lowest bidder, because if you want to do that, you just join the army. We fuck ourselves up before 10 a.m. than most people do all day. But, I just, Yeah, what bags are best for bodies? You know, and a question like this. Hey, Sean, when I'm trying to bury a corpse, what should I put over them to help them dissolve faster? You know, just a little bit of lye, a tree chipper, a green cone, half a bottle of Certo, and that's it, you know. But, you know, it's one of those kinds of things. So, but the play, getting back, digressing from, you know, cutting up hookers, yes, back to Shakespeare. What did you see? What version of it? It was Comedy of Errors?
Comedy of Errors. It was modernized. So, but of course, they always stay true to the original words. But a little bit of improv here and there.
It's funny, isn't it?
It was pretty good.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
The stuff that people will alter. And then there's the shit that, like, if you've only been dead for, like, 50 years, oh, it's fair game. You know, it's fair game.
Yeah.
They'll take your vision and just rape it. But if you've been dead for, like, 300 years, and there's, like, a bunch of dudes, like, because when they remade Star Wars, nobody cared, right? Because it was Lucas screwing up his own vision. But the dude who made Lord of the Rings, like, that guy was having seizures, making sure that the goblin looked right. You know, like, God. You know, very, very, you know, brutal. So... It's one of those kinds
which
of...
Which is kind of funny, because there's still like, the people that are still around get screwed over, but the people that have been dead, it's like, oh, we must preserve it, and they can't even defend themselves.
Well, it's...
Maybe that's why.
It's all part of the internet hate machine, right? You know, I mean, the internet hate machine has to, you know, if you're dead, it's really hard to offend you. You know, Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson died today, the day that we're recording this, right? And now it's going to be nothing but magazine covers, that's if he's actually dead. That's if he's actually dead. I'm so cynical, I don't think he's dead. I think he's faking this shit to get out of his tour because he's crazier than a shithouse rat.
That's right.
He's got a bucket
full
of money.
I just can't do it.
He's got a bucket full of money. He sold all his shit that was in his Neverland ranch.
That's true, yeah.
So, and he's been called, he's been called, you know, a pedophile and all that. So how's the only way he's ever going to get some peace? He checks out. You know what I mean? It seemed pretty, like, right away. Michael Jackson's dead. Like, I mean, whoa, I've never really had such accurate, close reporting of somebody dying, you know? Like, oh, he's in the hot, like, what did your fucking, you dialed 911 and then you called Slashdot, or how did that work there? Like, how come you're getting, it's another reason why it's like, we got millions of feet of footage of planes hitting the towers, not one fucking piece of footage of the planes hitting the Pentagon, even though it flew over an incredibly urbanized section through telephone wires. You know, I mean, things like that make me go, You know,
probably one of the most secure places in the world. No footage. No footage.
But never mind Mikey Boy. Never mind that monkey man and his one glove. Let's remember that Farrah Fawcett died today as well.
Like,
let's not forget that. And she was hot. You know, really. She was... Mm-hmm.
Well, in a 70s kind of way.
Dude, chicks from the 70s maintain their hotness to date. You cannot show me a chick who was hot, and she was in Logan's Run. Yeah. I mean,
really?
Dude. Oh, yeah.
Baby.
Yeah, baby. She was...
There's some kudos there, then.
Oh, dude, it's come on. You know, you gotta... It's Farrah fucking Fawcett, man. Come on. You know, fair on. You know, she could be like, you know... Even if she lived to, like, a really old age and she was, like, total grandma, you could still nail her and be like, man, I had sex with Farrah Fawcett. You know what I mean? It's one of those kind of things. It's just, like,
true. Awesome,
you know? So, but she's gone now, and, you know, of course, she's not going to get any play at all. She's going to get, you know, she's going to be a trivia card. Who else died on the same day as Michael Jackson? That's what's going to happen. You know, that's going to be her place in history, even though she's one of Charlie Angel's, Logan's Run, yada, yada, yada. So
pretty, you got to time your death very well to not compete against, you know, more famous people.
I don't think Jackson's dead. You know, I really don't. I don't know. I thought about that today. I'm like, you know what? I don't know why. I can't give you any more data on that other than Sean's gut feeling. But Sean's gut feeling is I don't like it. It smells funny. I think it's a little bit weird. You know what I mean?
Like, well, he can come back and do the resurrection tour. Maybe he's hanging out with Elvis or something.
Well, maybe he's just going to hide for a while. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems he was only 50-something.
Cooled down.
I think he's 50 years
old.
That's
true, 50.
And he's saying, oh, he stopped breathing. Oh, he's dead. And where'd all this happen? nobody really knows yet. We don't even know the details of it. It's unconfirmed reports of his death. And people are, like, they were saying that on the radio now. And maybe he is dead. You know, maybe they're just really quick about getting the King of Pop's, you know, death out there. But we'll see. Time will tell. I got some feedback, though. We got in trouble here. You got balled out. Finally. Yes.
Me?
Yes.
Me.
You got balled out.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, here it comes, baby. So wait for it. But anyway. Dear Sean, first me. I, of course, get balled out all the goddamn time. Dear Sean. I'm going
to
read this verbatim here, and then I'll comment on it. So, Dear Sean, while reporting the story from the PopSci.com about robo-legs, you equated pointing out that it was an Israeli engineer that invented the robo-legs with the nut who attacked a Holocaust museum. Stating that he was an Israeli engineer is just as valid if he were a French engineer or a Swiss engineer. I'm totally against hate based on a person's race or religion, but I must say I'm getting a little tired of the slightest little thing being considered anti-Semitism. Sincerely, name redacted. And his name's redacted because if he didn't redact his name, he would be called anti-Semitic for making that statement. Now, I didn't think I no, it's true. It's totally fucking true. For example, if you have a guy who honestly believes, like he sits there and goes, hey, how many Jews died in the Holocaust? And they'll say, you know, 6 million Jews. If you go out and you say, do you got any numbers on that? Like, how do you know it was 6 million and not, you know, 5,445,212? You know, how did you get 6 million? And you start asking questions about the actual numbers and shit like that, you run the risk of looking like you're anti-Semitic. You know what I mean? Never mind the fact that they killed 9 million Ukrainians in one winter. You know, never
that's
mind.
That's not important.
Never mind
that's
that shit. No. It's the 6 million Jews that we're worried about. Not that I'm belittling the death of 6 million Jews, but aren't we kind of belittling the death of the 9 million Ukrainians or what, the fucking like 23 million Russians that Stalin killed on his own people? I mean, it's absolutely horrific. So if I came across as bawling people out for being anti-Semitic, you know, I'm definitely not anti-Semitic. I'm anti-semantic. How about that? I don't really like little word games, and I don't like the semantics. So if I came across, I think that there is, maybe I was a little bit more sensitive that day about it because, you know what, it's the Jews, you know, and you got these crazy...
Remember, don't hate the people, hate the religion.
How about just don't hate, you know? Well, I'm no good at that either. I mean, I've got... I don't hate the deed, hate the sin. You know, don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. That's the idea.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the whole thing. So, name redacted. If I came across like an asshole there, that wasn't really what I'm about. And if there's one thing I hate, it's when people are like, "I'm sorry, you're not going to be allowed to own this firearm. It's because I'm a Jew." No, it's because you have a criminal record and because you showed up here not wearing any pants. You know, that's why I'm not giving you a firearm at this moment. No, it's because I'm a Jew and you're a racist. I think that'd make me a religious bigot, isn't it? Because isn't it a religion? I don't think it's really a race. No, my mother was a Jew. Well, okay. I mean, I don't really know how that happens. You know, because if your father's a Jew, you're not a Jew. The mother has to be a Jew. Or is it the other way around? You know, you got to have your...
I think it's the mother.
Your Jew papers. And, you know,
purebred Jew.
I think that the whole, you know, isolating yourself into a... some kind of a category... of being either pro or a certain race or not a certain race or whatever. I think that kind of has a tendency to isolate people. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if I'm Irish or Celtic or Scottish or from the UK or wherever the hell I'm from. It doesn't really matter. We're all just kind of people. And if, you know, we got to get over that shit. We really do. World War II sucked ass for everybody. It sucked ass for the Germans. They lost. Okay? Like, everybody had a chunk of flesh taken out of them during World War II. And it is important that we remember that. But it's also important that we're able to forgive each other over the stuff that did happen during World War II. Otherwise, we're just going to wind up where the whole planet turns into the Middle East and nobody forgives anybody. And we wind up fighting over fig trees and blowing up each other's pizzerias. So that's no fucking good either. So, yeah, it sucks. Yeah, my grandfather killed your grandfather, but how about you and I not kill each other? And that's really where it's going. You know?
Sounds like a plan.
I think so. So if I come across like I'm, you know, I'm all about human supremacy. Don't really care about anything else. If you got a skull, you're on my team. Let's go forwards. You know. So I got another piece of SKTFM. Now, you'll notice here, Simi, it says, this mail is being sent mainly in reference to comments by Sumerian. Now, this person who sent this in, they spelt your name S-E-M Arian, Sumerian, which is kind of a neat way of spelling that. I don't know.
That is
interesting. Google that and see what that is. Is that something? Like, is that something that he looked up?
It might be. I've never seen that spelling.
I've never seen that spelling before either. The way he spells it is C-I-M-M. Is it one M or E-R-I-A-N? Is that right, Simmer? How do you spell it? That's C-I-M-M.
Yeah. C-I-M-M-E-R-I-A-N.
Yeah. So that's how he spells it. But he spells it a different way, which is fine, though. That's irrelevant. Again, anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
But this mail is being sent. Okay, so let me get through this one, because this is a pretty good one here.
Okay.
You know, and I'll get you up here. This mail is being sent mainly in reference to comments by Sumerian made about atheism on your 4/20/09 episode of Newsreel. 4/20, I like to consider myself educated on this subject as a soft agnostic, because I have debated the subject extensively and researched it. Oh, shit, you're in for it now. Also, I understand this letter may have been sent to Sumerian himself, but I thought you would also benefit from this knowledge if no one informed you of this subsequently. So in case, you know, you were too embarrassed. All right, well, I won't. Let me get through
this. No, I didn't get this.
Didn't get this? I never saw these assholes before. To begin with, Sumerian's comment that atheism is a lack of beliefs... To begin with, Sumerian's comments that atheism is a lack of belief are blatantly false. Per the definition of atheism, all dictionaries I have found, especially those with chops, such as Merriam-Webster, define atheism as being a specific belief that there is no God, period. In this respect, atheism requires just as much faith as any religion. To my knowledge, there is no more evidence to support the lack of a God than there is to support the existence of one, meaning that the belief in either direction requires as much faith as the opposite. Of course, it could be argued that there is no way to have evidence in either direction. In turn, what Sumerian was describing, by definition, was agnosticism. The reason I labeled myself being a soft agnostic because I am unsure that any one dictionary that is considered to be the official authority on the English language. Further, I am not sure if said dictionary would be country-specific or specific to the form of English being referred. With this in mind, certain dictionaries, such as Merriam-Webster, define agnosticism as being a lack of knowledge and specific refusal to believe in either the existence or non-existence of God. Other dictionaries, however, define agnosticism as being a profession of the lack of knowledge minus the latter, meaning that one is still free to refuse to believe or to believe one way or the other. With my current lack of knowledge concerning any official dictionary on our language, I chose to simply understand that the definition is lax and therefore room for belief alongside the profession of lack of faith. Soft acknowledge, as according to subsection 4.5 of the belief structure code. Now, okay, I made that up. Okay. Soft agnosticism, as opposed to hard agnosticism, is like soft agnostics. They mostly use like chains and nunchucks, whereas the hard agnostics, they use like the staffs. Okay, no, I'm making that shit up too. Okay, soft agnosticism, as opposed to hard agnosticism, is the refusal to believe any one way or the other based on one's lack of knowledge. Basically, it entails a lack of faith. So Sumerian, to my knowledge, specifically referencing my form of agnosticism. Secondly, I believe the issue of atheism as being a religion is debatable based on what level of organization is required, by definition, in order for a faith to be considered a religious. Personally, I believe atheists, as a group, lack this organization. Then again, considering the lack of organization is religions such as Christianity, meaning the myriad of sects therein, I understand that this is all purely subjective, failing an official word, all amount to a type of organized required, but by definition, of a faith to be considered religious. Just wanted to clear that up for you. Hope you found this interesting. Keep up the good work. Your faithless bitch, Varmint. So, I mean, the guy actually used herein in the letter. You know, I mean, he's got it out there, and apparently some dictionaries have chops. You know, like there's actual like you know, sideburns. I would definitely listen to sideburns. If they start, we're on my dictionary. If my dictionary sprouted sideburns, I mean, that would be the definitive.
That started talking, too, yeah.
Yeah. So, to clarify, correct me if I'm wrong here, Sim, but to clarify your position on religion is that it's all screaming bullshit. Pretty much, you side with science. You're all for God. Well, the thing is, though, that you're not all for God, because, like, even if, like, Jesus showed up in your house, did five miracles, you still wouldn't believe in Jesus. You know, you claim that you were drugged, you claim you were, you know, hallucinating or something. You know, you're like the science. You're basically a scientist, really.
It's all about the science, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you're...
I mean, you know, give me proof, give me, like, put it through some scientific process. Can the process be replicated?
Well, I think the argument you and I have is that you and I have the argument of what is science. And I may put things as science that you wouldn't class as science. You see what I mean? Like, yeah. There's some stuff that you would consider to be, you know, pseudoscience or crack pottery, you know, just because, you know, your wife's a scientist. So, you know, whatever. But,
Mean I am.
15 years of schooling, well, you can just kind of look across the room and be like, hey, is that right? And she'll, like, be shaking her head. You'll be like, fuck that, Sean, you're full of shit, you know. Let me put this through the lab. Look at her. No. Okay, yeah, fuck you, Sean. You know. Well, I mean, hey, it's a team, right? You know, you're teamed up, right? That's what marriage is all about. Yeah. You're teamed up. She's got your back. I mean, she's not going to give you false data just to make you feel better when you're dying. Honey, I want to believe in God. Yeah. No, you're going to die and be alone in the dark forever. You know, that's where it's at, you know. But what's your take on that?
He's going on semantics here. He says that I said atheism was a lack of belief of God, mm-hmm. and he says atheism is a belief that there is no God. I mean, there is a distinction between the two, but there is also strong and weak atheism, and both one of those is strong atheism is a belief that there is no God, and weak atheism is like,
I'm not sure if there's a God, but I don't think so.
Yeah. Exactly. Ish.
Well, yeah, and, I mean, that's don't write us another 50-page letter, okay? Don't write us another 50-page letter.
Theism is a belief in a higher power.
Objection, leading the witness.
Lack of belief in a higher power, right?
Right.
But I it is unprovable that there is no God. It's philosophically unprovable. You can't prove that something does not exist. I can't prove there's no teapot orbiting around Jupiter, and neither can anybody else because it's too far away.
Well, yeah.
So go there.
And, I mean, it could also be argued that if the universe is infinite, right, then somewhere out there, then there's a number of possibilities. So if you go far enough in one direction, eventually you're going to come across a Starship Enterprise, you know, because it's an infinite universe, and therefore everything that can exist or could exist exist. You know, and
just everything points in the opposite direction of there being a deity that looks down upon us.
Right, which
there's just hasn't been any conclusive proof. There's a whole bunch of books that are written 2,000 years ago. There hasn't been really any updates to them. No big floods that covered the Earth recently. Things like that. Nobody's been talking down from the sky, you know, turning rivers into floods and stuff like that. Yeah, so really, it's a bunch of books that were written 2,000 years ago at the intellectual level of a person who was born 2,000 years ago. There's nothing in there about DNA. There's nothing in there about physics. You'd think an all-knowing, all-seeing God would include, you know, all knowledge that we would know nowadays and even know 2,000 years from now as well.
Well,
but no, there's just stuff about sacrificing goats and tribes and things like that, only things that existed 2,000 years ago.
Revealed your hand is. You're a vegan, so you don't like religion because they kill goats. That's what's going on here. I know your game. You're all about the saving goats thing.
It's just they talked a lot about sacrificing animals in the Bible. It's
it revealed your true nature is. I know what's going on here. All right, no, but seriously though, I mean... You know, the difference here is that I'm open to stuff that isn't based in science. Now, you and I pretty much agree that, yeah, you know what, I don't know what to believe, but I don't really swallow current religious models. Whereas you've kind of written off the supernatural as being, you know, hokey bullshit. You're pretty much you're like an atheist who is also a hard skeptic. I think is probably the best way to put it. Because there are
extremely hard skeptics. Yeah. All these things about ghosts and things, nobody can scientifically prove it. And can't they scientifically prove it?
Why
can't they take it into a room? Okay, the ghost lives here. Okay, 10 times out of 10, we can go there. There's the ghost. Here's our things that show the ghost is
they
here.
They actually can, and there are samples that prove the existence of the supernatural. You just don't like the science, so you don't acknowledge it. That's what's going on.
There's a $1 million standing offer by James Randi for anybody who can prove the
supernatural. And do you know how many people have claimed that he's ripped them off? Do you have any idea the number of people who claim that he has ripped them off? There's quite a number of people who have claimed they've met his particular challenge, and he won't pay out. There's a few of them. And not only that, just because James Randi doesn't touch it on the forehead and say, nope, that's not true, perhaps their particular voodoo only works in the jungle. Maybe their particular voodoo has to have a few other variables involved there. Now, see, everyone has physics envy, right? Everyone wants it to be fucking physics, where there's a lot of variables when you're dealing with science we don't understand, because it's science we don't understand, that come into play. So, I mean, now, I'm not ripping on you here. I'm not ripping on you. I'm just saying that before you go making statements like, you know, well, there's no evidence of ghosts. Well, there's more evidence of ghosts than there is that we landed on the moon. So, you know, I'm a little bit, I mean, you can believe what you want. You know, I can be my deluded, crazy Sean over here, you know. But I just, you know, I'm a little bit hesitant about, you know, just casting off the supernatural. There's a lot of crazy shit that goes on, and you can't discount human experience.
You ever see things out of the corner of your eye, and then you look and they're gone?
Sure.
That's what ghosts are.
Sure. I mean, that's your opinion. You believe that.
Just some people see those a little bit more than others, and there's also EMF that interferes with the brain that also influences your vision of ghosts.
Sure, that's another theory. You betcha. But you ever look out of the corner of your eye and you see like a small child tearing his own face off with like a butcher's knife? Yeah, that's a bad piece of chicken you ate. You know, no, I don't think so. I think there's shit out there that's going on. I think there's stuff we don't understand. I don't think we know everything.
That can also be induced by chemicals as well.
It could also be some shit that you have no idea what it is. That's the best thing about hard skeptics. If I could make like a toilet bowl, you know, levitate in the air, they would do some crazy mental gymnastics rather than have me just say, yeah, it's telekinesis. They'll be like, no, it can't be. You know, there's no way.
A lot of illusionists can do that. Of illusionists can do that.
You betcha. So, you know, because if you don't follow that, it's you know, your reality becomes unstable and you know, everything falls apart. If you show people, it's true. If you show, like, for example, it's
going No. If it could be proven that this is a real thing, then a scientific mind should be able to handle that. It's like, this is how things work in the universe. Well, okay, well, that's how things work in the universe.
That's a big should, though. I mean, okay, if I was to show you unarguable proof that there's some kind of, like, existence beyond death, that would fundamentally shift your view on reality on such a level. This is why, like, religious people get freaked the fuck out when you attack their God, right?
So did the discovery of germs and atoms, and we got used to it.
Yeah, actually, the guy who discovered the germs and all that stuff, he wound up dying in a sanitarium because everyone thought he was insane. That's true. Yeah, no shit. That's how he died.
So, yeah, they lock up those people at first.
Oh, yeah. Galileo, right? Like, sorry, you're a witch. You get to, you know, be charged with that.
Stay
shit
in your house for a while.
Yeah. Why don't you just not go outside for a bit because God hates you? Yeah, or Tesla, all those guys. Okay, well, we're not going to get back onto our old beaten path of, Sean, you're a deluded, you know, paranormal crystal humming psycho, and I'm going to be like, you, sir, are going to be the first to be eaten when the dead ones rise, you know, because you'll be too deep in your sand loss to you know, carry on. But something that there is, something you and I can both agree on, is the USA Pirate Party. It seems
indeed
that we have some ranters running for that. What do you know about this, Sim?
Well, I was just informed this a couple days ago by Agent Pugsley, who is running for some positions in the USA Pirate Party.
Okay.
So there's four people that I know of from Rant and the Rant community. Ryan Martin, Agent Pugsley. Mark Redman, who is Redman. Seth Nickham, who is Kabiri Jester.
Right.
And Bethany Jolly, who is Shiny Black Roses. Of course, they have to give their real names if they're going to run for a political party.
Wow.
But Agent Pugsley informed me that there's a number of ranters running in the annual elections for the United States Pirate Party. Pirate Party recently gained a member of parliament in Germany.
Right.
And a seat in the European Parliament. So it has two people already in Parliament in over in Europe there.
Right.
And so the elections for the USA Pirate Party are going to be happening in a couple days on June 30th.
Nice.
So polling opens 6 p.m. that day and closes on July 2nd at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Go into the Pirate Party IRC and vote at that time. And you can check out their webpage for more information.
Okay. And why are we backing the Pirate Party and not backing, say, you know, the Green Party or the Democrats or the Republicans? Why are we backing them?
Well, why are we not backing anything. People can back whatever they want, but they got some pretty good stances on copyright reform and intellectual property rights and, you know, being able to use your own hardware for whatever you want and not being controlled by the corporations. So it's more about control of your own life rather than the corporate rule of your own life. So they've got some good policies in there.
Well, you know what? Hey, I'll trust you on that one. I don't know anything about it. But what I will say is that to everybody who's out there, if you're going to go vote, make sure you don't just take my word for it or anybody's word for it. Make sure you investigate it and make sure that these guys' policies. I mean, I've known these guys for a while, Pugsley, Redmond, Kabiri. I mean, Kabiri sent me like how many times? You go through the newsreel archives. I mean, the guy sent me tons of news. So I know the guy switched on. But what I want to avoid here is I want to avoid, you know, I don't want to become like, you know, the supreme leader over there in Iran who's like, no, this election is fair. Kill everyone who dissents because we are controlling the mind state. No, that's not what's going on here. Definitely. You want to go and check out, you know, what their stances are. Make sure it agrees with your stances.
Oh, yeah.
If they're, you know, libertarian or you know, whatever the hell you are, you want to make sure that it agrees with you. Don't think that we're like, yeah, that's it. You got to vote for that. Or you're not WOG. Because, you know, seriously, I would fucking not ever say something like that. So, yeah, I just want to make that really
clear.
And
these are just for positions within the Pirate Party. It's not for electing the Pirate Party for, you know, a governmental seat.
Oh, I see.
This is just for them becoming part of the Pirate Party.
Ah.
And no, Rant's not endorsing them. We're just, you know, these are ranters.
You know, realistically, though, the Pirate Party, I mean, from what I'm seeing, they're not actually endorsing, you know, going out raiding ships and taking their shit. What they're
not pirates, no.
Not the actual pirates. They're talking about, hey, why don't we share knowledge so that other people can build on it and make our community stronger, which is kind of something you and I have promoted since day one. Right. And I kind of thought
rather
when I saw
than
this,
locking up information forever and ever, maybe bring it back under reasonable limits, maybe back to the 14-year limit.
Sure, you know, or something. You know, get guys like the dude who wrote in there, what's his name here? Get Varmint on it so we get some decent, you know, well thought out arguments on this kind of thing. Because, I mean, you need that sort of stuff. Varmint, why the hell aren't you involved with this? Clearly, you think that way. So why not? You know? And, of course, now this kind of freaked me out, though, because I was looking through the show format, and all of a sudden there's this whole section here about the Pirate Party. I'm like, whoa! What the fuck is this? I didn't put this
on
in the fucking show format. What the hell? But then I thought about it for a minute. I'm like, well, you know, I mean, Sim's got a point, though. I mean, these guys have been, you know, we've been supporting this sort of mentality for a while, so I don't really have a problem, you know, voting and talking about this on the air. But I just want to avoid the whole concept of, you know, people blindly following anyone. For fuck's sakes, not me. You know, don't blindly follow me. You know, that's no good. If you happen to agree,
oh no, we always push. Make up your own mind. Get all the facts and make up your own mind.
Betcha. Yeah, absolutely. Agent No there said that. Not endorsing, just informing. Not a religion. Do not worship. You know, it's that's what's going on here. So, I think I just gave myself a huge piece of static too when I bumped the cable, but that's okay.
I didn't hear it.
You won't. It'll wind up in the thing. Now, of course, our good man Alex Peak, who's kind of picked up a big torch in the counterculture circles, has told us about Tour Camp. I showed up to do the short format. He's like, put this on the short format! And I'm like, no, fuck you. And he's like, I'll do it. And I'm like, I, why am I even here? You know, why do I even bother? But, you know, anyway, apparently
we should just open source the show. Let them run it.
Fuck it. You know, I'll just crowdsource my show format. Why do I bother? No, seriously, there's a thing called Tour Camp, and from the limited encounter that I've heard about it, apparently it's like DEF CON and Burning Man for hackers, and you can get all the information on that at TOORCAMP.org. So tour, TOOR camp, all one word, .org. Check that shit out because anything that brings people together in large groups so that they can share ideas, communicate, and try to build shit is a good thing. you know, no matter what it is. I mean, if you're making cookies, whatever. Maybe we'll have Uber cookie by the end of that one. But, I mean, you're definitely not going to make it on your own. Not in this day and age where they've got, you know, people with big money throwing bigger money at groups that read books and, you know, go into, like, special focus groups so that they can be better team players, so they can use their limited, you know, eight-mind Beowulf cluster of darkness against, you know, the and that's what these think tanks are. I mean, you look at these, like, neocon think tanks. What the fuck are they? Really? I mean, they're just, they're big, you know, nine-person Beowulf clusters of darkness. They're voting for evil. And if we're going to combat that, I mean, if you want to combat these Bilderberg groups, this is, like, things like this tour camp is really Bilderberg for the good guys. And which all you got to do, you don't need a special invite. You haven't got to have sex with a chicken and apple or anything like that. You just got to show up, you know, put in some effort, take something from it. Don't expect everything to be done for you and have a good time. And consistently show up. I mean, Jesus Christ, if Newsreel has taught me anything, you know, if you just do it consistently, you'll be fine. You know, I'm just saying. So it's a good idea to check that out. Did you know anything else about this tour camp, Sam? Like, what do you
know? He just jumped in the Second Life and started blabbing to me about it, and I went, oh, sounds cool.
Well, yeah, so you can actually go to the tour camp right website, and it could be like this hardcore white supremacist, you know,
it could be
gay sex orgy thing, you know. So if it's a gay sex orgy thing, they'll probably get more attendance. You know, I'm just saying. Why not?
He's also said it's at an abandoned missile base.
Well, shit. That's what? Cool.
There you go.
Well, that's
Titan
important.
Missile
that's,
silo.
There you go. Well, that's fucking rad. That's a photo op. It's a photo op. I mean, go to this thing. I mean, bust out some glow sticks
some
in
photos.
The dark and take some, you know, red light glow stick shots.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, shit, man.
Get
it's
some
all
trance
about,
on the go.
Oh, yeah. It's all about the lighting, you know. You know, drink your power thirst, you know, to make sure that you can, you know, fuel rave parties with your glowing sweat. That'll be awesome. that's what I say.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Tour camp, check it out. Could be good. Now, you know, Sim. You think that you want science, Sim? You want science? I got
science.
Give
me hard science.
The bug war, Sim. Morgellon, okay, on the forefront and bleeding edge, okay, sending this thing. Danish.
Those poor bugs.
Danish boffins. Boffins, of course, are the British word for scientists. Danish boffins have uncovered an unforeseen extra downside of the melting of the Arctic ice cap. Never mind the fact it's going to be 28, or not 28 days, it's going to be the day after 28 days later. It's, according to reports, not only will be sea level rises and massive flooding, there will also be a plague of enormous, invulnerable, heavily armored, meat-eating cannibal spiders. Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. The worrying yet exciting news comes from the National Geographic.
Exciting.
Which has, I want this to be true so bad. Which has been speaking,
I know you do,
to the top arachnoboffin, Toki Hoi of the Aarhus University. Hoi has spent 10 years studying the flesh-eating wolf spider, Pardosa glacialis, which lives in Greenland, north of the Arctic Circle. Okay, whoa. Who knew there were spiders north of the Arctic Circle, for starters?
Wow.
That's like...
I didn't.
Those are like... That's like the thing that killed the Tauntaun and locked Luke in the ceiling. That was one of these spiders, you know? Disturbingly, the Scandinavian spider specialist reports... Now, it's not often you get a chance to use a word like the Scandinavian spider specialist. Reports that over that period, the polar arachnids have increased significantly in size and correspondingly increase the thickness of their exoskeleton armor plates. In just one warm year, it seems you could see a 10% increase. And over the decade that Hoi has been visiting the Greenland spider colonies, there's been a 2% upward trend, which he puts down to global warming. So, on its own is quite bad enough. But here on the Reg Big Game and Military Tech Desk to calculate that if spider wolves of the Arctic grow by 10% annually, in just 15 years, they will be the size in just 50 years. So 50 years from now. So I'm 35 now. So when I'm 85, they'll be the size of Humvees. But it gets worse. We're not just looking at swarming, ravenous horde of hairy meat-eating arachnids, the sign of off-road vehicles. Oh, no. That would be easy to deal with. as a well-placed slug from a big bore rifle would surely put such a creature down. And don't aim for their limbs. You must aim for the center of their body where their head connects. Anyway, sorry. Big game hunters worldwide would rush to Greenland to join in the sport. Every sportsman's entrance hall would be adorned with enormous spider-headed trophies. Wealthy socialite ladies would be wearing fur coats made of Arctic wolf spider hair. But by the year 27 or so, mournful Eskimo trackers would point dolefully across the empty prairies of Greenland where the once mighty hordes of flesh-eating buffalo-sized spiders had roamed after the glaciers left, but before the hunters came. So basically, no problem. But the fact these spiders aren't going to be nearly as easy to kill as the buffalo or charging elephant. A measly 50 caliber express bullet isn't going to knock one of these puppies down. No, sir. Why?
Where did you get this?
This is from the Reg, man. Why? Because spiders, as everyone knows, this is fucking science. They did a 10-year study on this. Spiders, as everyone knows, can actually extrude bulletproof material out of their arses. True fact. And their hard body structure is worn outside as an exoskeleton, thus forming the natural coat of armor plate. Thus, when the mighty hordes of the 4-meter-long spiders appear in 2060 or so, they will, by our calculations, be plated with 26 centimeters of arachnocomposite protection at the same league as Borwer better than modern ceramic body armor, but immensely thicker. They'll be as hard to take out as a tank, and it won't be a jolly day's sport blasting away with some heavy rifle. Nothing short of hypervelocity depleted uranium penetrator, a volley of anti-tank missiles, or a huge roadside bomb is going to stop one of these things. Well, there's also artillery. That would put one of these fuckers on his knees. Dealing with a spider infestation is going to be like stopping the Nazis' Panzer Blitzkrieg. It's always possible that humanity will be saved by radical big game hunters mounted in battle tanks or attack helicopters. Oh, Lord. Hear my cry. Let that be so. Or possibly ones gutsier still, who insist on taking their arachnid trophies on foot, using man-portable anti-tank weapons for the ultimate kudos. But it sounds like an expensive and dangerous hobby. Well, not really. You can get a Stinger missile for about $350 in Florida. They did 2020. And you can
really?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. Wow. And the National Geographic points out, we might do better to hope that the spider's natural cannibalistic propensities come into play. Paraglacialis apparently well known for snacking on their young and, among the females, insufficiently alert sexual partners, which, and that's not related to, spiders, all women will essentially kill insufficiently alert. All women will do that. Enormous and correspondingly peckish lady spiders might control most of the rest of the species for the rest of us, leaving only a relatively small number to be occasionally culled by some game wardens armed with cruise missiles. If only this were true. But what we can take from this is that they are getting bigger, and science. There it is, Sim. There it is.
A lot of artistic journalism going on at the Register, but that is quite funny.
Oh, I see. Now you don't like the science. Now you don't disagree with the science, eh? All right.
They're extrapolating stuff.
Oh, screw you, hippie. And when I'm 85, I'm flying around in choppers, and I'm gunning, running and gunning spiders. And people are going to be with me, too. I'm going to have Sean's massive arachnid slaughter fest. But it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be something that people want to sign up for. It's going to be more like that rain of fire, when the dragons took over and everybody was, fighting. Yeah, that's what it's going to be like. Only with spiders.
I remember you really getting excited over that Weekly World News report with the dinosaurs coming.
Well, that was just preposterous. That was the Weekly World News. Did you know that the Weekly World News? You know who started the Weekly World News? Any ideas?
No idea.
The
Probably
CIA.
A very legitimate newspaper.
No, the
what?
CIA started the Weekly World.
No.
Look it up. Look
was
it up.
Reported in the Weekly World News?
Nope. You go check that out. Call me a liar.
Huh.
Call me a liar. But you go check that out. And that's so they could disseminate all the false information about aliens.
So it's actually a real newspaper, but nobody believes it.
I'm not saying
because
that.
Because it's so preposterous.
But there's you got to be, careful with what you believe. You always got to check some everything. But I'm just saying, don't be so quick to throw your hands in the air. Otherwise, before you know it, you wind up wrapped in arachno ceramics and, wind up being a couple thousand young little cannibalistic Humvee spiders' food. So, what would you
That's without, true, you got to be prepared.
Well, Sam, without me, man, you wouldn't last 20 minutes in 2060. not 20 minutes.
It's very true.
It's true.
I'd be on my sat phone to you going, Sean, there's spiders everywhere. I should have listened.
Well, actually, probably wouldn't be on a sat phone. We'd probably be using, like, thought implanted, you know, helmets.
That's true.
Or something.
Yeah.
But,
by
you
that
know,
time.
I mean, well, our computers. We probably have, actually, by 2060, we'd probably have, like, massive killer robots that would, like, totally beat these spiders like they stole something. You know, like, I'd be like, oh, shit, a spider the size of the Humvee. Let me just hop in my Battlemaster over here, and I'm going to be moving 4 and 6 up on his ass until I hit him with my AC-20. Rock on. Everybody all together now. Rock and balls! You know, that's what I'm talking about. But anyway.
Okay. Wikipedia does say that the Weekly World News was created by an intelligence officer for the CIA.
Well, more citation needed. Have you got anything other than
yes.
other than Wikipedia? I mean, well, you know, I could
no,
be still
yet.
Lying.
Not yet.
You know, I'm sure, you know, it could be. But, yeah.
You just altered that page, didn't you? Yes, you did.
Yeah, while I'm doing the show. Check out my mad lead skills. You know, that's what I need. I need a flying monkey dirty tricks team to mess with Sim during the show. So I'll start talking,
oh,
and then
God.
I'll, like, lay it on him, and then he'll go to Wikipedia, and he'll look it up. And it said, and the amazing reporter, Sean Kennedy, says, he'll be like, you totally got your team doing this. That's not on Wikipedia. You're full of shit, you know, but whatever. All right, well, check this one out. This is actually getting away from the crazy stories. I always like to open up with a story like that because how, I mean, you know, I had somebody send that to me on, Morgellon sent me that on, through some crazy social medium. He got to me somehow on it. And, you know, he's like, dude, this is so you because we were talking about blowing up the spiders and stuff. I'm like, fuck yeah. Now, what freaks me out, though.
That, yeah.
What freaks me out, though, is who... Never mind they're the size of Humvees. Who the hell knew that there were spiders living past the Arctic Circle? I mean,
Yeah, no kidding.
I have had some hardcore cold weather training, and at no point did anyone tell me, by the way, there's these massive Arctic spiders that might kill you. Ha, ha, ha.
And they're all white, so you can't see them.
And they're all white, and they're getting bigger every year. You know, like, dude... Dude, you know, I think that there's a few arguments that have been made against the giant spiders. I've read some physics reports about giant spiders not being able to support their own weight and stuff
yeah,
like that. So why
true.
Giant spiders could never...
They can only get so big.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's but even if they only got to be the size of, like, they're saying a Humvee in 2050, but let's make it half the size of a Humvee in 2025, right? So if it's only half the size of the Humvee, let's see, I'm getting attacked by something the size of an engine block. That's disturbing to me. You know, I don't want to have...
Something, a spider the size of a small cat would be disturbing.
Dude, yeah, and I mean, that's like 2012. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know,
the stars are aligning.
The stars are aligning. Maybe, you know, we'll have these Mayan Arctic wolf spiders, you know, and they'll spin
that
together this web.
Maybe is what's going to bring us down. Yeah.
They'll spin together a web using, you know, thetachery and vertometry, and it'll, like, open a dimensional gateway, and they'll make, like, a wormhole. Stargate, you know, style, and they'll come through with their spider horde, and it'll just be like riffs. So get your glitter boys right about now. Or actually, for me, I'd rather have a Sam ass suit, but that's neither here nor there. Now, getting past this, Alex again, busy guy that he is over there at the good fellas over there at Shameless Plug Tactical Corsets, because, you know, I've been thinking about this. I think that I want to thank Alex for this particular story, but I really want to thank Alex for Tactical Corsets. Really. Because who's really getting the benefits here? I mean, I've read the shit on his website.
It's true.
No, really. I've read the shit on his website where he's like, yeah, we're empowering women. I'm like, yeah, if you can sell that, you know, fuck yeah. I don't care why you get them wearing the corsets. Absolutely. You know, you betcha. Just dress them in the corsets. That's all I'm saying here. Just more tactical corsets.
That's right.
Absolutely. We'll set up donations
Works
for that.
For
99 cents a day, we'll get these women the tactical corsets that they need. You know, really. And we'll film
to
it.
To survive
too. Yeah, you know, they've got to have that. You know, the price of a cup of coffee, Sam. Price of a cup of coffee. We'll get these
Well,
women.
Those spiders are coming, and that's all that's going to protect them.
Well, yeah. You know, clearly. You know, and if I'm dying, I want to be dying surrounded by super hot chicks wearing tactical corsets. This is all I'm saying. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But speaking
That's
of which,
yeah.
if the giant spiders are coming and you're in your tactical corset, what are you going to do? Well, check this one out. Soon, you may be able to buy a drug that can make you calm by mimicking the body's natural self-soothing process. But you wouldn't feel drugged. What would happen to people who suddenly became fearless without these side effects? A group of European Ooh. Researchers have discovered a ligand, or a chemical, that binds with molecules that can soothe even the most anxious of creatures. As they write in an article published today in Science, which is your Bible. They induced anxiety attacks in mice and men, and then administered the ligand XBD173. And they found that their fear subsided immediately. It's an anti-fear drug.
Ooh.
The best part is that the treatment isn't addictive. That's the best part. I think the best part is that it doesn't cause people to go insane and shoot themselves, you know. It's like RoboCop 2. Wah! Bang, you know, no good. Doesn't take weeks to be effective and doesn't make you feel dopey or drowsy. You know, some side effects may occur. According to the release from the author's study, findings suggest that the ligand, XBD173, might be a good candidate for the safe and fast-acting anti-anxiety agent. Current treatments like benzodiazepines have often unwanted side effects like sedation, tolerance, or symptoms of withdrawal. Yeah, tolerance, meaning that you build up, you have to take more and more and more.
Oh,
or symptoms of withdrawal after chronic use. Antidepressant drugs are also sometimes administered to treat anxiety, but their beneficial effects only occur after several weeks of treatment. Looking for something new, Rainer Ruprecht and colleagues administered XBD173 to laboratory rats and observed that it prevented panic behavior almost immediately, without the rats building a tolerance or any other unwanted side effects. Then they performed a study among 70 healthy human men, involving a placebo group, and found that XBD173 initiated as fast anti-anxiety response without any withdrawal symptoms after prolonged use. The authors say that XBD173 promotes these calming effects through its modulation of the inhibitory neurotransmitter GABA, and they suggest that the ligand be considered for use in future clinical applications. Now, first of all, I would like to know how you got these 70 human men, because they're like, oh God, what are you shooting me up with? Oh, that's okay. I don't mind. There we go. It's all fine now. That scares the living shit out of me. You know, because chances are that anxiety is there for a reason. Okay, that emotion exists to keep you safe. All right? Like,
keep you out of danger.
Yeah. You know, like, hey, I don't really want you opening the top of my head and installing silicone microchips. I don't really want that. Oh, you shot me up. Well, you know, if it's for the best, you know, I guess it's okay. And that freaks me out. That seriously freaks me out. And it's right out of Star Trek.
Sounds like it'd be good for like the riot police or something. Just shoot it into the crowd and everybody sits down willingly.
Yeah, like it's like. No, man. I mean, this is right out of Starship Troopers or Haze or any of these games where it's just like, whoa, dude, what the hell's going on, you know? Pretty serious stuff. And now, a story that I really enjoy reporting to you in Green Bull News. This is for every single asshole out there who gets on me about recycling. Because, you know, I'm one of these jerks who, like, actually, I don't recycle. I don't. I throw my shit away. And I get, my wife gets...
Out the car window.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, styrofoam containers right out the side. You know, stop. Kick a puppy.
He's kept all the 1980s McDonald's styrofoam containers, and he's reusing those.
Yeah, you know, because honestly, you know, until you start shipping all your freight by train, don't come talking to me to make my little conditions. Until you're willing to stop wasting, you know, fuel and resources the way you do. Like, you're gonna tell me that I'm making a massive bioprint when I go to Vegas and they're paying $1 million a year to throw one light into the sky because they want to look cool? You want to eat a bag of what? Anyway. But anyway, in Green Bull News, sent to me by Ad Nauseam, good man that he is, more than 98% of supposedly natural and environmental-friendly products in the United States supermarket shelves are making potentially false or misleading claims. Congress has been told. And 22% of products making green claims bear an environmental badge that has no inherent meaning, said Scott Case, the environmental consulting firm Terra Choice. A study of nearly 4,000 consumer products found that greenwashing in every nearly product category, a lack of verifiable information to outright lies. Even if the experts are confused, Case, whose firm runs its own Eco logo certification program, admitted he had bought a refrigerator only to find it failed to meet its claims of energy efficiency. My refrigerator used twice as much energy as advertised, he told members of House Representatives Committee on Commerce, Trade, and Consumer Protection. The hearing amounted to a crash course into the perils of the new green marketplace for the committee. Congress is looking at how to guide consumers through the thicket of competing claims of so-called greenness. So it's like, whoa, what? Hey, the advertisers are lying to us? Say it isn't so. Like, how is that possible?
About five years ago, everything on the shelf started having leaves on it. And a lot of these companies, what they do is they set up their own little corporations within themselves.
Oh, of course.
And give it a really green name and it says, oh, it's certified by HeartSure or something like that. And it has no scientific backing.
Well, you look at eggs.
And they just put this really nice little logo on it.
Eggs are the best. Eggs are the best way. You go to the egg aisle or eggs. Well, I mean, Sam, if you're ever in a normal fucking supermarket
eggs.
Rather than, you know, some cow's field or whatever the hell it is you get your food. But if you, in these crazy modern things we have called supermarkets, you go in there and they have these. They actually sell the unborn chickens in the form of their, you know, egg state.
Disgusting.
It is, yeah. The baby dead chickens, baby unborn dead chickens. Every egg is precious. So, but in the they stack these eggs in 12 cart containers, and the problem is, of course, that they some of them are called free range. Some of them are free run. Mm. Some of them are born free. Some of them, you know
born
what I mean?
Free.
Well, yeah, there's all these crazy different names that are free
wow.
range, free run, and they're naturally fielded. There's all these buzzwords. Okay.
Yeah.
And you look at that, and I'm like, huh, isn't that interesting? So the certified organic, that's a totally different kettle of fish, because being certified organic is actually quite a certification, as I understand it. But it's like, isn't that interesting? And then, you know, it gets on whether or not organic's better, blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, once again, check some everything. And, you know, if you don't live in the city, absolutely. It's like what Dex Foxtrot said there. I mean, dude, just go find a fucking farm where Buddy's got some chickens.
Buy it from the farm.
You know, or get some chickens yourself. What the hell? It can't be that hard. You know what I mean? Like, you just, you know, if you can do it, do it. But if not, somebody somewhere has got a chicken.
My parents had chickens.
Get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, walk around outside, you'll hear one of those bastards crowing and start shooting a bearing and marching on it. And eventually you'll find the son of a bitch and be able to walk in there and be like, hey, your goddamn rooster woke me up and I'm willing to buy some eggs off you. So, you know, why not? just do it, man. It's not really that hard to do. And, hey, after the bomb, it's Thursday, you got your chickens, everybody's fine.
And the money goes more directly to the farmer.
Yeah, which is, you know, always a plus, because let's be real, these farmers need all the help they can get, and if that's all. Now, speaking of which, we were talking about the whole, we've been talking about farmer fascism, we've been talking about people, you know, getting doped up and all this stuff. This is something that I didn't hear about until just today, in fact. I ran across this, one of the Army sent this one in, and this is in Mental Screening News. Okay, now... I didn't hear about this, but you're going to start hearing more about this. And I've got a video link that links on this off the page. But we're talking about the Signs of Suicide, SOS, okay, is a program developed and promoted by a corporation called Screening for Mental Health Incorporated. Signs of Suicide is a program not unlike the greatly protested Test Screen program. Screening for Mental Health Incorporated, SMH, has taken millions in pharmaceutical grants to forward its program for psychiatric testing in what they say is an effort to reduce suicides, alcoholism, depression, and eating disorders in high schools, colleges, the workplace, and the military. So that's a pretty good cross-section. We got high schools and colleges, the workplace, which is like, Jesus, what's not
everyone.
The workplace? You know, Starbucks, fuck everywhere. And the military. So that's pretty much everywhere. You know,
everywhere.
Really. I mean, what isn't touched by at least one of those, you know? And if you're like...
unemployed on the street.
If you're in college in the National Guard and you got a part-time job, you're really screwed. You're in three of the four. So, you know, you're done.
You're getting triple dosed.
You're like, you're never going to be able to beat that piss test. Screening for Mental Health Incorporated also is in charge of the pharmaceutically funded National Depression Screening Day. Did you hear about this? The National Depression Screening Day. Why would pharmaceutical companies want to support such an organization? Are they altruistic, or do they simply stand to make billions on the sale of drugs to people who will be screened? On the website, which I've linked to, you will find conclusive and irrefutable evidence that millions in drug money has been dumped into the Screening for Mental Health Incorporated. Fears about an increased risk of suicide led the Food and Drug Administration to issue black box warnings on all antidepressants, which are not even approved for children by the FDA. Yet the drug companies continue to shove huge amounts of cash to SMH and similar programs to keep their companies profitable. $500,000 grant to, like, on the website when you go there, there's a $500,000 grant pictured, which they have, you know, the drug companies giving the people doing that, $500,000. Okay, and it's really, really crazy. I didn't even know that there was a national, you know, day for mental health screening. National Depression Screening Day.
It's in October, apparently.
Is it?
So, watch out for it this October.
You know, dangerously close to Halloween. Nice placement. Are your kids reading, wearing a lot of black? Are they attracted to the dark side? Julie's going nowhere. The back-end control center didn't work it out, so we're just going to dope the shit out of your kids. Don't do drugs. Do our drugs. That's what they want, you know. Hey, that's the deal. And we've been talking about this for a long time. And in the beginning, I was kind of like, oh, yeah, that's totally, you know, Orwellian. This will never happen, you know. I honestly, no, really, back in the day, back in 2000, I'm like, yeah, we're just, you know.
It seemed a pipe dream. We heard little smatterings here and there. We thought, oh,
just like the giant spiders, Sim.
Yeah.
Just like the giant. You're not taking those giant spiders seriously, are you? No, you're not.
Well, in 10 years, we'll look back.
That's right. And I'll be like, see, told you so. Told you so. Now you're all cocooned. How you like me now? But,
And it says this National Screen Day is going to be in health facilities, shopping malls, libraries, colleges, workplaces, and senior centers.
Don't forget
places
daycares.
That people can't get away from.
Roving vans. Daycares. Yeah, they're going to have roving vans. And,
pulling you in. No windows on the vans. Blackened out. Yeah,
and they're going to have, you know, like retrieval experts run by guys who look like Mick Jagger with net guns. And they, you know, they go out. And anybody who doesn't, you know, respond is going to be labeled a free jack and therefore a complete risk. And they have
At first, I thought this was going to be run by Scientologists. It sounds like a Scientologist kind of thing, but this is the other side of the coin—the people who want to be on drugs.
Well, see, the Scientologists, yeah, exactly. Scientologists, you know, they don't
both
actually
want your money, though.
Yeah, well, what they want to do is they want to use you up until your money is gone, and then they'll throw you in the shitter. That's what they're going to do. That's their game. Versus these guys who want to keep you doped up so you're a slave. Like the Scientologists, I mean, I honestly believe that one of the greatest crimes is slavery. That is probably the highest crime, in my opinion. It's worse than murder.
Because it keeps on giving.
Yeah, I mean, murder, you can only murder somebody once. You know, I mean, there's stuff out there that's like, you know, you can get out of rape and you can get out of all this kind of stuff. You can, you know, you can survive it. You can carry on and live some kind of life. But, you know, if you're maintained in a state of constant bondage, that's no good. And whether those chains are made with steel or if they're made with chemicals, they're still fucking chains. And, you know, do not go gently into that good night, man. If you've got problems, then, you know, you might want to start thinking about some other options, start looking at other ideas that are out there, and start, you know, taking responsibility for your own health and for your own mind. Because if you don't program yourself, sure as shit, somebody else is going to do it for you. Okay? Like, yeah. I mean, I'm a big believer in, like, omega-3s, vitamins, the whole B series, ginkgo, all that stuff. I'm a big believer in that stuff. There's a guy named Hutchison who wrote some books on, like, the Book of Floating, Mega Brain. Do some research. There's lots of science out there right now. Drink enough water. Make sure you're getting enough sugar, the right kinds of sugars. You know, because your brain is essentially just sugar, fat, and water, pretty much. I mean, that's all there is. There's some other shit going on in there. But really, I mean, it's largely what it's made of. So, you know, let's, you know, take some responsibility here. Now, I've got three pieces of Cyberpunk kit, which are both very sexy. I normally, sometimes I don't have a lot of Cyberpunk kit, but today I've got some Gucci Cyberpunk kit.
A plethora.
A veritable cluster. First is the wasp knife from Dan. Now, this, I think I may have put this one in before. A couple of these might be repeats, but I haven't done them in a while, and they've kind of evolved. The wasp knife is a knife that has a nitrogen canister built into the handle. So when you stick it into something, you hit a button. And, well, as divers, because it's marketed as a dive knife, we all know the effects of compressed gas underwater. Our training teaches us that our lungs would burst from an overinflation if we held our breath and rose to the surface. This principle is key to the effectiveness of the WASP injection system. The weapon injects a freezing cold ball of compressed gas, approximately the size of a basketball, at 800 psi, nearly instantly. The effects of this injection will drop many of the world's largest land predators. The effect of the compressed gants not only causes overinflation during the ascent when used underwater, but also freezes all tissues and organs surrounding the point of injection on land or sea. When used underwater, the injected gas has carried the predator to the surface before blood is released into the water, thus giving the diver added protection by diverting other potential predators away to the surface. So, the argument here is, shark's coming, you stick the shark with the knife, hit the button, shark fills up with air, he buggers off to the circus, and you're able to escape. Which... Mm-hmm.
There's a great video out there of this knife versus a watermelon. So if people out there want to look for it,
sure, sure. It's a lot of money though. I mean, they want like $400. But to market this thing as a dive tool is retarded. Okay, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Because I'm here to tell you, you know, it's not often that the wasp knife is the answer, but when it is, it's the only answer. No, I mean, seriously, man, like,
But I mean, you use it once, and you're not going to use it foolishly if it's that much money, but hey, if you've got it handy, that's great.
The only chance, and believe me, I know of which I speak, if something is coming after you in the ocean, you're fucked. You are
That's true, yeah.
Fucked.
You wouldn't even know you're dead.
You're fucked proper. Yeah, like, no, dude, you're so done. First of all, like, human, there is nothing that is as crappy at movement in the water as humans, okay? Like, we suck. I mean, a small seal can run circles around us, and we've got, like, 18-foot, you know, 20-foot white sharks that catch these ninja little seals. Okay, so you're going to tell me that you're going to be able to pull this knife, hold it in your hand, apply enough force with your puny little human water ape arms to penetrate the skin of anything, and then, while this is taking those precious seconds to do all this, have the presence of mind to hit a button to inject a big thing of gas, I'm sorry. I would bet like $500 right now that a dude wouldn't even be able to put this into a walrus if it was on shore sleeping. I bet you it wouldn't get the shot off. I think it's a neat thing. I think it has a bit, like, maybe if something had a hold of Buddy, and if there was government sponsorship here, and you were gonna, and it was free, yeah, I'd get one if it was there. But I think there's a lot of dive knives out there that would be a better and more effective tool. You know, they're like, Masters of Defense for the same money makes a dive tool called the XSF-1, called the Excessive One, which was designed by a Canadian fleet diver, and it's made out of titanium. It's a very interesting knife. It's an excellent dive tool because it works like a pry bar. It's kind of like a titanium underwater crowbar. That is something that I would recommend people take underwater with you. And if you're worried about sharks and shit, get yourself a bang stick or like one of the bang sticks that fit on the end of a spear gun. But if you've got to go to the wasp knife to deal with the large marine predator that's coming for your sorry little pink monkey ass, like, GFO, man, time to leave. DD Mao out of the water now. That's what I'm doing, okay? And I'll just start throwing shape charges over the side because I'm not into screwing around with a bunch of marine predators in their natural environment. Fuck that. I'm leaving. And I've got to be faster than the shark. I just got to be faster than Sim, who I stabbed with my wasp knife so that he can float to the surface and draw fire.
That's true. I'm carrying a camera, too.
Oh, yeah, so I can't do you. Well, we'll recruit, you know, a dive buddy. Come here, dive buddy.
There you go.
Oh, shit! You know, no good.
Your name is Food.
Your name is Chum. You're my diving chunk. All right. So also we have the DARPA Jump Qualified Folding Bike. Now, this has gone through a few evolutions. I really like this. Since the 1980s, and I've talked about it probably since the 1980s, Montague has provided full-sized folding bicycles to various divisions of the military. In 1997, under a grant from the defense from DARPA, Montague partnered with the U.S. Marines to develop the Tactical Electric No Signature TENS mountain bike. For this project, Montague developed a new folding frame design called the X Series, integrated the FIT system into the frame, designing a non-electronic version of the TENS mountain bike, thus named it the Paratrooper, became available shortly thereafter. Blah, 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 blah. Now, this thing here is awesome because it folds down to a 3-foot square and it expands out into a full-size mountain bike. So for the trunk of your car, the side of your boat, the back of the... what's the weight on it? That's a good thing. It can haul up to 500 pounds, but we don't have a weight on it here. But it's... I mean, hey, it'll take 500 pounds worth of load. It's going to weigh something. It's probably made of aluminum. I don't imagine it's too that way. But it's pretty pretty hot. Yeah. And let's be real, it's something that's designed to be an emergency, got to get it there kind of thing. And if you can load up, I mean, 500 pounds carry load. So you got a 250-pound guy. I mean, let's be real. We got Wogs loaded with kit. So Wog with kit, weapon, crew, 300 pounds. And he's got another 50 pounds on his back, so that's 350. He's still 150 pounds in. You know? Nice. Nice. Mm-hmm. So it unfolds, no tools done. Now, of course, that's for field work. And, Sam, if you scroll down, you'll see the sexiest photo ever, which I'm going to be putting up as my... that's going on
that
the news reel there.
That photo's hilarious.
I know. It's so Johnny Mnemonic. It hurts. And this is for the Tammy Wheelman. Now, I've seen this thing before. They come out of Korea, and they're hard to get parts for. Okay? That's the bad news. The good news is they're less than $600. The Wheelman started to gain... Now, you got to... Everybody who's listening to this right now, you got to go take a look for the Tammy Wheelman on an image search. Because I'm here... T-A-M-I Wheelman, like it's spelled, is just like the most cyberpunk-looking thing you ever did see in your life. It's got no hubs. Your feet sit inside the wheels. It does 35 miles an hour. It's like a giant motorized skateboard. And apparently now, they have an electric version, which I read about on the site. Now, it's hard and difficult to get, you know, information on this stuff, but it's pretty slick. It's pretty sick. So it's basically a two-wheeled motorized skateboard that looks like a psycho small motorbike, but it's not a motorbike because it's a small skateboard that you ride like a surfboard, and it's just made of wind and dipped in awesome. I mean, honest to God, it's the coolest motorized skating two-wheel skateboard device I've ever seen. Clearly cooler. I'm surprised this hasn't been used in a film because this is like the most futuristic thing ever, and you get these different colored cowlings for them. I mean, they are hot.
Yeah, it looks like it's easy to get on and off. And you just put your feet in it and go.
Now, if we can get one of these in an electric model, hey, hello, I can use this indoors. All right, looking good. And now we haven't got something that's like, meh, you know, which, you know, not so tactical. But all you flying monkeys out there. All you flying monkeys out there, you got to have a look at this. See if we can find some electronic. Well, let's see what kind of information we can get on this. I found it for less than $600. And realistically, can you think of something cooler to take to, like, Burning Man?
Oh, that's awesome.
Or, like,
or
any kind of, like, even to this, you know, out to the thing. The thing that Alex was talking about. What the hell was that called again?
Yeah, the hacker convention.
Tour camp. Tour camp, right?
Tour
camp? Yeah. Is it tour camp? Everything's a camp.
Tour camp.
Tour camp. That's right. Everything's a camp, you know? Jeez. Let's go to the tour camp. Programming will make you free. So it's... but back to this thing. It's very, very hot. Now, last and not least, I have today's daily hack, which isn't actually... I was debating whether to put this into Recomedia or into the Daily Hack. It came out with the Daily Hack. And what it is a guy, and he's got a series of books, which I've read. I haven't read his stuff. But he wrote a series of books, and he's referenced a lot of material that's really, really good. And he's talking about how to, over in Iraq, how people are able to stay off the radar in a war zone and yet be able to stay connected using communications. He goes on to say here, I continue to receive large amount numbers of emails and questions would be the best instrument for communication in the event of a national emergency, economic chaos, or civil unrest on a massive scale. I believe the answer can be found in what has worked and has not worked for the Iraqi resistance. Specific instructions on how to's and how not to's for secure communications follows. And he talks about like what really does work, how many times you're supposed to change the phone. We're talking some really hardcore Jason Bourne kind of shit going on here. And he gives some excellent, excellent resources to check out if you want to, you know, get further into that particular venue, you know, if you're worried about your own sort of game. But let's not forget, we do have some Recomedia here. Cory Doctorow has offered a book up for free called Little Brother. Marcus, a.k.a. Winston, is only 17 years old, but he figured he already knows how the system works and how to work the system. Smart, fast, and wise to the ways of the networked world, he has no trouble outwitting his high school's intrusive but clumsy surveillance systems. But his whole world changes when he and his friends find themselves caught in the aftermath of a major terrorist attack on San Francisco. In the wrong place at the wrong time. Marcus and his crew are apprehended by the Department of Homeland Security and whisked away to perform to a secret prison where they are mercilessly interrogated for days. When the DHS finally releases them, Marcus discovers that his city has become a police state where every citizen is treated like a potential terrorist. He knows that no one will believe his story, which leaves him only one option, to take down the DHS himself. So, 17-year-old kid versus Department of Homeland Security, go! Fight! You know, so, well, you know, hey. It's a good story. Cory Doctorow wrote it. It's available for free online. Go check it out. Cool. There's got to be some good stuff there. And for you, Sim, you might like this one. The 2009 H+, the Transhumanist magazine, is out. In this particular issue, we have the designer baby controversy. From the X Prize to Singularity, biohacking archives, legalized sports doping. That's one thing that's really weird. The transhumanists are all about legalizing sports doping. You know, like, why not?
Make That'd it be illegal. Interesting. Yeah.
You'd have some scary-ass sports. Yeah. You know.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, seriously, let's... I would watch the... I would watch...
Oh, yeah, I'd watch that, too.
I would watch the boxing match. We're going to have a mixed martial arts pro drug. You know, he got the guy in the corner doing rails of coke, turns around, he's like, guys like ripping their biceps out of their socket before the punch is completed. Like, holy dog shit, that would be insane. And as well, this is really neat. This guy named Brewdog did some nice work with his website where he talks about something called the Red Pill Journey. And these are really cool, Sim. You should like, I think I've sent these to you before. But it's a mashup. He's a remix mashups that are 30 to 50 minutes long. They're like a mix. And he's taken movie quotes, music, everything. And he's made these 50-minute like episodes almost that are music and sounds from movies. And he's used a ton of my stuff. A ton of it. And
like,
he's mixed.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm quite heavily prominently, you know, featured in most of them. So there's like Morpheus and a bunch of other quotes. And then Sean Kennedy's in there and it goes back. So I'm like, wow. You know, it's a huge compliment, first of all. I mean, you're classing me up there with the Morpheus and shit. I mean, that's pretty hot. That is pretty hot.
That is pretty good.
So, the Red Pill Journey's got four of them up there. I'm in all of them, I think. Very, very cool. They're about 40 minutes long. I skipped through one, and he had that whole thing in there about religion, and he put some music behind it. It was really well done. Like, they're kind of neat. They're kind of one of those things that, you know, you're sitting there getting kind of freaked out. You want to put something on in the background. Yeah. It's a really cool thing to listen to if you're just not into
music. I'm surprised
I
haven't heard this before.
Yeah, no, you want to check it out. It's pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool. I'm pretty sure I forwarded it to you before. That's okay. I mean, we got a ton of mail. You know, pretty neat.
Yeah.
Pretty neat stuff. Definitely check it out. And... do you have anything else, Simi? Before I don't really have a C-section here, but I thought I'd check. Put the C-section
Now. Working hard on the new rant page. It's coming together. It's looking very nice. But,
nice.
Not sure when it's going to be done, but it's coming along very well.
We've had some interesting stuff on the horizon, though. The Think Machine has been thinking, and we've got some good stuff.
Yes.
So we can't expand on
very
it more
good
than
stuff.
That, but we do have some good stuff.
We got it more solidified first.
Yeah, we've had some breakthroughs.
Very, very, very good breakthroughs. Yeah,
very good breakthroughs. And that's all we got for you today. But don't worry, we'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive the spider holocaust. This has been a free broadcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate to this show, please distribute this show. Are you listening to me? Give this show to people who you think might be able to use it. Don't just spam that shit. Hand it to guys. Go to a truck stop. Those people are bored. Give it to security guards. Those people are bored. Give it to people who have to spend a lot of time alone. Give it to people who you know nobody likes. They need help. And that's what we're here to do. You know, because honest to God, there's a lot of people out there who are really, really needing something like Newsreel, and it's really going to help them. We get mail all the time from people that's like, wow, I thought I was alone. I thought I had nothing left, and you guys saved our ass. So all you got to do to help keep somebody's sanity together so they don't wind up being some drugged-out corporate slave is handing them a little bit of light in their darkness. It's the candle of Newsreel. Give it to them so that they can keep themselves warm, and maybe they can light somebody else on fire, too. You know, I'm just saying. It's just an interesting idea. But if you can donate, if you can do that, please subscribe. Okay, please subscribe. Fess up $5 a month. You probably lose more than that in pocket change in the back. It helps us out a ton, and we're going to keep doing what we're doing anyway. But, hey, you know what? If you subscribe to us, it really does help, and we love you.
It does.
An extra special amount. You know?
So much loves.
Loves for you. And if you want to send us stuff, you can send it to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56 Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. And, of course, big kudos and shouts out to the Army of Flying Monkeys and their assistants in gathering data. If you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And be sure to sign up for the Rant Media Newsletter by sending an email with your profession on your favorite barbecue recipe to info@rantradio.com. You tell Sim how much you like the steak, he'll send you up for the mailing list, and it'll be great. And because he's a vegan and he enjoys that shit. And if you like the music in the background, check out some Psytrance, of course, because that's, you know, one of these days I'm going to put like something really weird in the background. You know, I've had some
and
crazy stuff.
It won't be Psytrance.
Yeah, it won't be Psytrance. I'll be like, if you like the music in the background, check out Slayer. But if you like the music in the background, check out some Psytrance. And I got this one sent in to me from Kizzle Kiz. This is kind of neat. Some people have been like recommending music, and I'm kind of liking that because I'm able to find. I don't get the time.
That is cool.
You know, so this one was sent in. It's called "The Bus Driver Split Seconds Between Nannies and Swamis." So it's actually "Bus Driver," I think, is the artist. And "Split Seconds Between Nannies and Swamis." Now, if you like this, investigate it, buy the album. These guys are on an independent label. They need all the support they can get. It's pretty interesting stuff. It's pretty urban. It's kind of cyberpunky. I like it a lot.
Cool.
So, yeah. And it's a really good way for us to find some extra music, Sim. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemies if we're at each other's throats. And that's really all we got, Simmy.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
You're good to go? Okay, man. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
Be real. Conscious rap failed us.
Abraham's are shuffling the raisin bran and eyeballs to bylaws and leaping off the laser scan until your genotype and telling you to deep throat pipe if you don't do it well. These hosts might the random carpenter code fills the deficit in motor skills of onlookers. Raw sugars register an overkill within your colon wall, so I can't eat bowling ball. You squeeze out at the open call, but what if you could inundate the open hearing with your shrewd barbs that to perforate the slogan hearing on the cue cards when you press a fine cut or just apply blushes, be squelch, seek help, and nymphaline and pine crust. The job offers for Albanese account Dracula and calorie account spatula, kitchen sapphire and the lithograph on your Calvin Klein alkaline and rich gonad. Should I kiss your ass or drown you in the saffron soy dip of a Mazak sun joystick and poke at my little speckled tight jumpsuit? Mr. Applewhite grunt cubes from the candlelight drunk selling some suit, being a fresh faced unknown with sophomore gags and washboard abs, finding Cineplex waste blitz downs. Can I be OG Mudbone? Go freedom. Leopard elite, it are pumping antibodies into DP's cleavage. They split it, split it. They're either nannies or swamis, undefeated. Screaming fancy commies, leopard elite, it are pumping antibodies into DP's cleavage. They split it, split it. Who points Trump foes to I? Why do me? What if you advance? So in a fame perk of playbook, entire dollar guilt trip stamped on my African name book proves that behind the cumulus blue there's a cumulus of stew as Dane Cook's table reads where Yank Butch's anal beads out of the trench from a beach-rated test run sipping YouTube viewership of deviated septum between two choose your pick rules Zimbabwe arm approved computer chips become your new Yahweh boo-hoo lose your bitch your dopes in the blood and soul cause most rap careers mirror stints as drug mules but are you that picking any blackface written sippy art on screen time is split 50-50 but I've only drawn guns. Blonde construction paper with the pastel sticks. And I'm a leftist and a loyalist. Who was selling bean pies with a bad sales pitch? This sex offender foils fixed in the utero. On my own dumbass selfie, I pimp super ho. Whom is me? Did I can drive for the fishbone? Have fire and brimstone. The miser's pissed on, but I'm not sure. Dollar to an NAACP or an WAONGP. But I straddle the fence every nanosecond. Capture checks with like the utero ball. Up a music hall, it's like, who points Trump?